Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, November the 10th. And welcome to our commentary. I have to begin wishing a very happy birthday to the U.S. Marines. 245. So happy birthday to the U.S. Marines who were founded on this day in 1777. So congratulations to the Marines, one of the legendary military organizations in the planet. And so if you see a Marine today, say happy birthday, Marine, and thank you for your service 245 years ago today. Now, I don't think they were called the Marines at that time, but eventually, of course, they became the U.S. Marines, and they've been a part of the history. They've been a part of the conversation, and they have the best-looking military uniforms in the planet. And you know why I know this? Because when I was in high school, and then later when I had kids in high school, every Friday night at the football game, there would be an alumni, of course, who would come back to watch the game. And sometimes they would wear that amazing military Marine uniform. And all the girls were crazy looking at the Marine. It was like magic. That uniform was like magic with the girls in school. So congratulations to the Marines. Great job that you've done over the years. Well, let's talk a little bit about the election. We're continuing our analysis of the election. Let me kind of tell you where it is right now, where we are right now. The Republicans are slowly, but surely, creeping up to a majority in the House. The majority, it takes 218 to win the House or to have a majority in the House. As of, you know, an hour or so ago, early afternoon, Thursday, they were up to 209. There are like 40 seats or 40 districts open or available. They're being counted, I guess, and being made official by different states. So the Republicans would have to win 8 out of the 40 to win the majority. My guess is that they'll do better than that and have a majority around 230 in the House, which is a very good majority. It's actually a bigger majority than the one that the Democrats have right now. So 230 is about the number that I think they will finish with. And then that, I guess the next battle is going to be who's going to be the speaker. My guess is that it'll be McCarthy, but you never know once they get into that room and start arguing about who's going to be the speaker. So having the House of Representatives, do not underestimate the importance of having the House of Representatives, because that's where everything starts. All the legislation, that's also where the investigations happen. And I think there are going to be some investigations. There need to be, honestly, investigations of what in the world is going on with Hunter Biden. What exactly? How did he make all that money? And, you know, what did President Biden know, or Vice President Biden, whatever he was at the time? Beyond that, think we need to have a very close review of social media, of big tech. I think we need to take a look at their political participation. So there's a lot that the House can do, a lot that the House can do. And so having a majority in the House is a very important thing. Now, the Senate right now, there are three open questions right now in the Senate. What's going to happen in Georgia? Well, that's an easy one. They're going to go to a runoff a month from now. So first 10 days of December, they're going to have another vote in Georgia, and that'll be between Herschel Walker and Senator Warnock, and you know, we'll see who wins. But that could be, or it may not be, important. In Arizona, if you've been following the news, the numbers keep shrinking. You know, the numbers just keep shrinking and shrinking as they count more and more votes. And I don't think, to be honest with you, that Masters is going to have enough time or has enough votes left to win. I think it'll be Senator Kelly, but I think by the time they get finished counting, he may be very close to 50%, because right now he's at 51.4 and dropping. So he could be down to just slightly over 50%. by the time they stopped counting. Nevada, same situation. They're counting. And Adam Laxalt, the Republican candidate there, has about a 3-point lead. They're counting votes. And as of right now, I think they've got about 80% something counted. And he's got about a 3-point lead. So I think that's starting to look like a Senate seat that they're going to call Republican here in the next few days. But they have so many votes to count. They've got so many procedures to follow that it could take a few days. So just think of it this way. If Laxalt wins, that means that right now there are 50 Republicans already in and 48 Democrats. If Kelly wins in Arizona, then it's 50 Republicans, 49 Democrats. So then you go to Georgia, where you will decide whether the Senate is going to be 50-50 again or whether the Senate is going to be 51-49 Republican. So we'll know that by, the second week of December. Now, if Masters wins in Arizona and Laxalt wins in Nevada, then it doesn't matter what happens in Arizona because the Republicans will have 51 either way. If Laxalt loses and Masters loses, then all you can hope for is a 50-50 Senate in Georgia. So, it's interesting, these little numbers going back and forth. But again, I think a lot of people are asking the question, why does it take so long for them to vote or to count the vote? And a lot of it is the procedures that they have or the options that they give people to vote. In Nevada, I believe, or Arizona, you can vote by mail on the day of the election. You can actually drop your envelope that day. Well, that might be very convenient, but that creates all kinds of problems counting the votes. I tell you, I love the way we do it in Texas. I love the way we do it in Texas, which is you have 2 weeks of early voting. So for 2 weeks, from 7 in the morning to 7 at night, your voting station is open. Your place to vote is open. You go in, you identify yourself, you follow the process, and you vote. 2 weeks that you can do that. And then, of course, you also have absentee. In the event that you're ill or you're going to be out of town or whatever, you can vote absentee. But on election day, the people who vote are the ones who are there physically. And then by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock Central Time in Texas, we know who voted, or at least we've got a pretty good idea of where the contest is because we have enough votes counted to at least make a pretty good estimate of who's going to win this or who's going to win that. So I like what we do in Texas a lot. And I like to see some of these states really take a look at their voting procedures and come up with a better way, a more efficient way, because it does impact the rest of the country. Especially because of the U.S. Senate. I mean, if the Senate majority was not in play, then I guess a lot of us would say, so what? But the Senate majority is in play. And in so many ways, these voting procedures, if you will, in these two states are holding back knowing what's going to happen with the Senate. So I hope they improve it. And I hope they take a look at what Texas has done, what Florida has done, and see how good, how easy and how good it is to process the votes here in Texas. Let's talk a little bit more about the election, and what I think is in fact happening in the country right now. Everybody was expecting a red wave, but what we got is a bunch of regional waves. So if you're living in New York, New York became more blue. If you're living in Illinois, Illinois became more blue. If you're living in California, California became more blue. Oregon, Washington, those states are becoming more and more blue. Minnesota, Maryland, those states are more blue than they were before. And, the Democrats are controlling more and more of those states. But then you go to Florida, Texas, Ohio, Georgia, and some of the other red states, and the Republicans are getting more and more of those states or controlling more and more of those states. So what we're really turning into is something I guess we've always known, and that is a country of blue states and red states. And we think differently. We want different things. Let's say with respect to abortion, for example, many of the blue states, you won't see any difference between whatever they do and Roe v. Wade. On abortion, most of the red states are going to have some restrictions in abortion, whether it's 10 weeks, 12 weeks, or whatever. When it comes to the economy, the blue states have more regulations, more rules, and the red states are more open for business. So more and more businesses are leaving the blue states and moving to the red states. The same is true of population. I saw a statistic that Florida is taking in, like, I don't know how many people from New York every week. It's amazing. The number of people from New York who are moving, packing up, and moving to Florida. We have the same phenomenon here in with people who leave California and move here. So that's what's happening in the country. We're becoming a nation of blues and a nation of reds. And that's where we're at. I mean, that's where we're at. And I guess it's okay. I mean, it is the United States of America. So the states are going to be very sovereign and they're going to have a lot of authority. But it does make it a little bit difficult sometimes to understand how people vote. For example, New York. How can people in New York continue to vote for a Democrat Party, making their lives more and more miserable all the time? A party that is driving away businesses, a party that is driving away people, a party that doesn't seem to have an idea that they have to control crime. How do they do that? They keep voting for these people. That's the reality of blue states. Illinois is the same way. California is the same way. So that's where I think we're going as a country, more blue states and more red states. And I guess, you know, we'll all have our Thanksgiving in our blue homes or our red homes, and life goes on and everybody is happy ever after, except, of course, the people who live in blue states, whose states are declining and losing jobs, and their economies are also falling apart. So, but that's where we are. That's where we are. And that's how I look at this election. And I see regional waves. I see a red wave over here. I see a blue wave over here. I see Florida becoming more red. I see New York becoming more blue. And that's what's going on. That's how I see this election. I don't see it so much as one side won and the other side lost. I think everybody just won whatever they were supposed to win. And we continue to be blue and we continue to be red. And I think we're going to be that way for a while because we don't have a president right now who can bring us together. That's another problem, that we have a president who in fact has contributed a great deal to these divisions. Well, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you later. We'll be right back.